Back in the time of the Vietnam War, there was a nurse that was often found on the battlefield. And she would go out there and help those. Sometimes they were American soldiers, and sometimes they were even the Viet Cong. She felt so sorry for those guys. And she would drag them back in, get them to a physician, get them to a doctor, a medic, somebody that could help them out. One day there had been a great, great battle, a terrible battle, and she was out there right after the battle was over with, and there was a high-ranking soldier who reprimanded her and said, "What in the world are you doing out here? Why are you out here?" She said, "I'm looking for the wounded. I'm looking for the wounded." And that's what I want to preach about today, looking for the wounded. Go to Psalm 147, please. Psalm 147, and we'll look at two verses, verses 2 and 3. Looking for the wounded. I'm glad Jesus gathers the outcast, the brokenhearted, and thank God he binds up our wounds. Psalm 147, 2. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcast of Israel. Psalm 147, 2. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. Verse 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Thank God that is a truth about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May I remind all of us today that that is your job and my job. Amen? It is every Christian's job to look for the wounded. Jesus, when he saved us, could have just taken us right on to heaven. But he didn't do that, did he? He left us here. Why? Because he wants us to be with him, looking for and bringing in to the great physician those that are wounded, and they are all around us. Our job is to go out, according to the Bible, into the hedges and the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. Jesus said that my house might be filled. In Mark 16:15, here's the divine imperative, the mandate from Almighty God. And God gives it to every born-again believer where he says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Amen? That's us, folks. It's not just preachers and missionaries. That's everybody who is saved. Acts 1:8, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." All Jesus is saying to his children is, go, look for the wounded. They're out there. Everybody, go and look for the wounded. By the way, did you bring a wounded person to church with you today? You know that the church is not a museum to be filled with religious relics, but this is a hospital. This is a hospital. It's not a place for us to display our spirituality as artifacts in a museum. It's a hospital. We need to do a better job at Worth Baptist Church, all of us, of bringing the wounded to church and getting them under the sound of the gospel. And they're out there. But God has told us to do it. Go look for the wounded. Now, a lot of times our critics say, well, that's just single-mindedness. That's all you think about is soul winning. All you think about is getting people saved. Well, I know that we have a threefold responsibility. I understand that. One is to bring them in. Secondly, we're to build them up. Amen. Bring them in, build them up, discipleship, and then send them out. Somebody else said, win them, wet them, and work them. Amen? That'll work too. That's what the Bible teaches us. But you cannot build them up and send them out until you bring them in. We've got to bring them in before we can build them up. You can't raise a child until the child is born. You can't do that. So our primary job, I believe, is to look for the wounded. And if we're not doing that, we're not doing our primary job. Bring them to the great physician. I believe he can heal them, don't you? He healed you, didn't he? And I believe he can heal them. Now, where did these wounded people get their wounds? We know in the army where they got their wounds, but where did these wounded people get their wounds? First of all, they got their wounds from Satan. The wounds come from a horrible enemy by the name of Satan. Go back to the Garden of Eden and look how everything was really going well. And everything was real nice. And God gave them instructions in the Garden of Eden, and he said, Adam, you do this and do this and that, and don't touch that particular tree. Don't you do that. And Eve was instructed the same. But here comes the old serpent, Lucifer the archangel, that had been kicked out of heaven, who has no intention that is good whatsoever, only to cause problems and heartaches. And he comes into the Garden of Eden. And then he promotes a lie, and he says, well, hath God said? Anytime anybody questions the word of God, you can know that's of the devil. And so he says, hath God said? Surely, if you eat this fruit, you'll be like gods. And don't we all want to be like gods? That seems to be the thrust of everybody in our society today. How much money can you get? How big a shot can you become? Don't you want to be like a god? And so Eve listened to the lie of the devil. And Satan brought sin into this world through Eve and Adam. Adam was the federal head and responsible as much as anybody, as much as his wife was in that relationship. And fellowship was broken. The eyes of the soul of Adam and Eve was gouged out that day in the Garden of Eden. But wait a minute. I hear God's voice. What's he doing? He knew what they were going to do. He had foreknowledge. He didn't cause it, but he knew what they were going to do. And there they are, hiding from God, behind all of those hedges and everything. And they had made themselves aprons that was typical of their own good deeds and works. And they are hiding from God. And God calls out, Adam, Adam, where art thou? You know what God was doing? Looking for the wounded. That's exactly immediately he shows us. They plunged the world into sin. And there he is looking for them. And guess what he did? He said, those old leaves you got on, they're not going to do. But there's a sacrifice and the shedding of blood. And with the shedding of blood, you put on the skins of those animals. And you believe in that power of the blood. And you'll be justified and saved by the blood. And they did. Amen. Jesus immediately, God immediately was doing that. Not only by Satan, but secondly by sin. They were wounded by sin. Sin grew from that period on. And everybody that was born after that was born with the Adamic nature, depraved, and sin covered all of the world. And then we hear God saying something in Genesis 6, 6 and 7. And here's what he said, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. Sin was everywhere. God looked down at it, and he said, it repents me that I've made man on the earth. And then he said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth. Man, that's powerful, isn't it? Almighty God said, I looked down, I saw, and I said, it repents me that I've made him, and I'll just destroy them. But thank God he found somebody by the name of Noah. You know why? He was looking for the wounded. And he was making a way. And he had mercy and he had grace. And he was preparing for the Savior to be born one day when Christ would come through the lineage. And when he would come through the lineage of that, then we know that it was going to take place. Noah and the ark. Getting Noah on that ark so that the seed would be spared. Thank God he was looking for the wounded. The wounded are wounded by Satan. They're wounded by sin. They're also wounded by society. Boy, what a society we have today. Sin everywhere. God probably looks down at us today and thinks about the same thing. And he is going to destroy this earth one of these days. But sin grew, and all of that took place. And then we have the story of Abraham. God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees and gave him his commission. One night he said, Abraham, come out here, I want to show you something. He went out and he said, look up in the sky. And Abraham looked up, he said, look at all those stars. And Abraham said, God, I can't count all those stars. He said, like all those stars is going to be your seed. And I'm going to bless you. And the world is going to be blessed through your seed. And everything is going to turn out the way it should. And then there was his wife, Sarah, who laughed and said, I just can't hardly believe that. We're going to be old people, and I don't think I can have a baby. And then the question was asked, is anything too hard for God? Beloved, let me remind you, there's nothing too hard for God. Amen. You got anything today that you're dealing with? There's nothing too hard for God. And God got old lady Sarah and old man Abraham a baby later on. But they decided they would work it out themselves. They didn't want to wait on God's timing. And as a result of that, there was a woman by the name of Hagar, which was a handmaid. And Sarah said, why don't you, I want to hurry God up. Why don't you let her get pregnant by you and have a baby, and then we'll have a seed. And so he backslid, and that took place. And then there was someone born by the name of Ishmael. And well, what do we see after that? Sarah was jealous, envious, ran her out. And there she is outside all by herself, away from protection. And little Ishmael was there. They had no food. What little that she could take care of had run out. And all of a sudden, would you believe that God shows up? And God asked her, what's wrong? What aileth thee, Hagar? Genesis 2:17. Do you know what he was doing? He was looking for the wounded. He wanted to help them. They were in pitiful mess. They're a picture of a sinner without the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who need the Lord, outcasts by society. They were left to die. They were going to die. But Jesus came by. God came by. God intervened. And God said, Hagar, I will take care of you, and I'll take care of Ishmael, and I will give you grace. But he was looking for the hurt. He was looking for the wounded. We have stories of lepers in the Bible, but a leper is one that in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, in Judaism, they were social outcasts in society. Lepers are a type of lost people. And the lepers in that society, as they were cast out, needed some help. And they were walking in society, hollering out, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. When I was in India, I went one night, we preached at a leper colony. One of the saddest things I've ever seen in my life. There were people in that little auditorium, I suppose around 180, 200, and most of them had part of their noses missing, part of their ears missing, fingers missing, part of their feet missing, part of their lips missing. And they weren't all adults either. And you know what they do to them in India? Man, they are social outcasts. They're so just like it was in Judaism. But thank God somebody loved them enough, like Jesus loved the leper and said, you come to me. And he called them to himself and said, I'll heal you, I'll touch you, and you can be healed. Jesus was looking for those that were sick. And I'm glad over in India they're looking for those that are sick and bring them in, win them to Christ, give them a place to live, food to eat. Otherwise, they'd starve to death and die. Society is wicked and sinful and makes them outcasts. I think of the woman at the well of Sychar. Boy, was she a social outcast. She had had five different husbands, and now she was living with a man that was not her husband. By the way, I don't know if you know that. That's wrong. That's sin. It's unbiblical. I don't care if you think it's going to be good for Social Security. It's wrong. Well, I'll lose my Social Security check, so we're just going to live together. God help you. I think God will provide if you don't do that. But anyway, this woman was there, and you know, they were considered dogs, Gentile dogs. And a Samaritan man, or a Samaritan, was the only kind of people on the face of the earth that could not be proselytes to Judaism. They wouldn't even take them as proselytes into Judaism. The others, they would, but no, not the Samaritans. They hated them. But Jesus said, I must needs go by Samaria. His apostles were saying, well, we've got groceries to buy and all these other things to do. We're busy, Lord. Don't you know how busy we Baptists are? Now, we tithe, Lord, but we're busy. We're real busy. And Jesus said, I've got to go by there. You know what he was doing? He was looking for the wounded. And he went to that woman and called her to himself, talked to her, and told her who the living water was. And she left her water pots, which is symbolic of her old way of life, and went back into the city. She said, come and let me tell you about a man that told me everything about me. He's the Savior, the Messiah, the Redeemer. And even though I'm an outcast Samaritan, he saved my soul. And they had a revival in that area because of it. I remember a man, I went to a home on a, I guess, it, I don't remember what night, it was Thursday night or something, and in Roanoke, Virginia, knocked on the door, and the lady came to the door. They had visited our church. There were three children there, and so she invited me to come on in, and I can't even remember now what someone was with him, but as I went into the home, her little boy, I was talking to them, her husband was not there. And I said, she said, he'll be here in just a little bit. He's on his way home. Be here in a little bit. So I got to witnessing to the boy who was about 12, 13, something like that. And he got saved. And he just got down on his knees and prayed. And he was weeping and crying. And about that time, his big old 6'4", 5" daddy walked through the front door and looked over at me and his little boy crying and said, what's going on here? I thought, nothing much. Whatever you say. He's a big guy. And I said, I just talked to your son about Jesus, and he got saved, and he's crying, and he was already crying. He wanted his daddy to be saved. And I said, he wants you to be saved too. He said, Daddy, please be saved. He just wept and cried, and that big old guy hit his knees. Whew, he got saved. And we got through. The little boy just kept on crying, and his daddy said, well, what's wrong? He said, Grandpa's not saved. He said, could we go talk to Grandpa? I said, let's go. And we went and talked to Grandpa. You know what I was doing? Looking for the wounded that night. That's all I was doing. And people got saved because I was looking for the wounded. That's what God tells us to do. Matt and Shauna Barnett, they just relocated to Houston because of the training she's got to have. They promised they're going to be back in a year. If not, I'm going to go down there and move the furniture out while they're gone and get them back here. But knocking on a door one night, and our minister of music had already been by there just knocking on the door and said, this is a good prospect. And I went back by there and talked to him. He got saved. What was I doing that night? Looking for the wounded. He didn't look wounded, but he was wounded because he was lost. He was lost on his way to hell. And thank God he got saved, and I had the privilege of baptizing him. Now the battle keeps on going and on. The wounded are everywhere. They're wounded by Satan. They're wounded by sin. They're wounded by society. And many people are wounded mostly by self. By self. One of the greatest enemies to anybody's soul is P-R-I-D-E, pride. What an enemy. I met a bunch of people like that yesterday. So proud. So proud. Wouldn't even talk. No way to even admit that they're a sinner. They're not about to do that. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction. Pride can keep you out of heaven and send you to hell. It goes before destruction. Uzziah was a king, and Uzziah the king had done pretty well until after the prophet died. And then all of a sudden he got arrogant and proud. And somebody had told him, say, you don't go in the temple, and you do not go in there and take the place of the priest. And he threw his chest back and said, who do you think you are? Don't you know I'm the king? And he went into the place where he didn't belong because of pride, and the judgment of God came upon him. Haman did the same thing. And I've already recently preached on that, so we won't rehash that. But basically, Haman wanted Mordecai killed, and he built the 75-foot gallows, so he wanted him hung on it. And he was so arrogant and proud, he said, man, I'm the second man in the kingdom. Nobody's any greater than me. And then he wanted more than what he already had, and he wound up being hung on the gallows himself, and his whole family was wiped out. Why? Because of pride. Caiaphas knew better. But Caiaphas was so proud that he was part of the plan to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. Our job, friend, is to go get these proud people and win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to cry over them. We're to weep over them. I talked to a 12-year-old boy yesterday. His name is Michael. Pray for Michael. Came to the door, nice, well-mannered, and he was just a sharp-looking young man. And I said, Mom or Dad here? And I almost hate to ask him that these days, but he came to the door anyway, and I said, I'd like to talk to your dad. He said, well, they're not here. And I said, well, I want to give you this brochure, and I handed it to him, talked to him a little bit, and he had a dog. Everybody's got dogs. I've never seen so many dogs in my life. Everybody's got a dog in Fort Worth. Most of them got three or four. That Doberman Pinscher got friendly with you yesterday, didn't it? I laughed when he was out there sniffing at you, so next week I'll get it. But at any rate, that dog was barking. He pushed the dog back in, stepped out, and I got to talk to him. And I said, have you ever heard about the term, have you heard these terms, being born again? Have you heard the term being saved? He looked at me and he said, no, sir. I've never heard those terms. I don't know what you're talking about. A 12-year-old boy didn't have any concept about being saved or the new birth or any of those terms. So I talked to him about Christ and very tenderly, carefully, wanted to be gentle with him because his parents were not there. Gave him the information, told him to read it, and I'll go back, and then we'll have the youth director to go back. I'm just saying to you that our job is to go out and find people like that. This is a nice young boy, 12 years of age, but he is sick. He's sick, not physically, but he is sick spiritually. He needs Jesus Christ. And so we all need to go after him. D.L. Moody, someone said, don't you think the world's getting better and better, Mr. Moody? Don't you think the world's getting better and better? And here's Moody's answer. I picture the world as a wrecked vessel drawing nearer and nearer to destruction. Listen to this. God gave me a lifeboat and said, here, Moody, save all you can. Friend, let me tell you something. God's given everybody in here a lifeboat. And we need to save all we can. C.T. Studd, a great missionary who gave away all of his money, went to the mission field, gave his life to the Lord for that. And he said this, made this statement, if Jesus Christ be God and he died for me, listen to this, folks. If Jesus Christ be God and he died for me, then there's no sacrifice too great to make for him. He's God and he died for me. What sacrifice could I make? So we need to be out looking for the wounded. Don't you agree? Folks, we need to do a better job of that. We don't need to just be satisfied with me and my four going to heaven. We need to go out and reach them. God help us to be like that nurse. What are you doing out here, ma'am? Reprimanded by the officer. What are you doing? She said, I'm helping the wounded. And she would drag some of them back to the physician. And the physician could heal them, and they could go back out into the battle. That's exactly what we need to do. What are you doing out there? I'm looking for the wounded. The wounded are everywhere. It's our job. It is our job. Teenagers, it's your job. Boys and girls sitting out here that are saved, it's your job. By the way, some of our boys and girls have brought people to Christ, and that's exciting. Old saints who've been saved for 40 and 50 and 60 years, it is still your job. It's not just a young couple's job. It's everybody's job. Why can't we get a broken heart and ask God to help us, oh God, to go after the wounded? Go find the wounded. Let's stand, please.